Hi, and welcome to Radio Gaga at Plymouth FM 104.6, sharing life and experiences from disabled people, by disabled people, for disabled people. Each week, we bring you stories based around our multiple abilities. You don't have to wait any longer to listen to insightful views, news, and reviews from around your community. We invite you to join us as we show you our community. Radio Gaga wants you to understand our dreams for a truly inclusive Auckland.
Welcome to Radio Gaga on 104.6 FM. My name is Mel and I'm joined today by Josh, your two presenters today. On today's show, we're going to talk about mental health and feature an interview that our first ever producer did about mental health. It is also our two-year anniversary, and after 2 years doing a radio show, you can feel a bit worn down, but we are still trooping on, aren't we, Josh?
Yes, we are. Wow, it's been a real roller coaster, hasn't it? It's been a real challenge, straight up. It's been a real challenge for me because I ain't done this before, and it's 2 years this year, and it's like, wow, it's gone so fast.
And it has, and I came on as a person that was interviewed.
Yes.
And you came on too as a presenter straight away, and you were one of the founders of the show.
Yeah.
So for you to see the evolution of the show must be really amazing for you.
I'm actually proud of you because you've came on the show, and at first I thought you was a bit of a shy person, but then you slowly grew through the challenges that you had to face because you told me that you're short-sighted, and I had to accept. I didn't know what short-sighted was until you explained it.
Yeah.
And it really helped me open up my eyes and learn more about you and to understand your perspective of a person with short-sighted that can that's learned so much over 2 years of the radio show. And it's really an eye-opener for a lot of people, and I'm actually proud of you for that.
Well, thank you, Josh, because when you hear someone that has low vision or blind, you think they probably don't have a lot of mobility and don't get out very much and make something of their life. But I think, and I hope that I've proven over the last couple of years, that you can achieve a lot and you can give a lot of things a go.
Yes.
Even if you don't accomplish what you set out to do, at least you learn from that experience and have given it a go. And even learning about your own disability, Williams syndrome, I mean, what does that mean? And you've shown us that there are complications sometimes when you're interacting with people and having anxiety when you have to move from here to there. And that all comes down to our mental health and looking after ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think we've both done that with the ups and downs that we've had in our own personal lives over the last couple of years. And even over this long weekend, things were just flying into mine and my partner's life in and out, like fireworks, but not so good ones. And I was like, how can I really de-stress, like, and relax? And I thought, I'm gonna take a bath. I'm gonna make a really nice hot bath with a nice scented candle and some music and a lush bath bomb. And I just stayed in the bath for about half an hour and just chillaxed out. And it just made me feel so much better. And I think we need to recognize what makes us feel better when we're really stressed and feeling down. And then we can come out of that with a clearer perspective. And what do you do to feel better when you're feeling like the world's all on top of you?
Sometimes I deal with it, and I just do meditation and stuff. Meditation does actually help me with a lot of stress.
Yeah.
And yoga, tai chi, or something like that can help you with your stress. And the person that I'm talking going to be hopefully coming on the show, she's going to be doing yoga soon, and she does have anxiety in it, but her yoga helps it to prevent it from occurring to her.
Yeah, that just aligns everything in your body, doesn't it? Kind of like meditation, but just all your chakras just all align up.
Yeah.
You just feel really energized and content with the world. So that'll be really amazing to hear what benefits and relaxing she gets out of that. So should we listen to the interview after a couple of songs?
Yes, we may.
All right.
Do you ever feel like breaking down? Do you ever feel out of place? Like somehow you just don't belong and no one understands you? Do you ever want to run away? Do you lock yourself in your room with the radio on turned up so loud that no one hears you screaming? No, you don't know what it's like when nothing feels all right.
Tonight I'm here for the beat of the drum that keeps it that big. Uh-huh. I guess we could try to take on the music. It's like a competition, because I feel what's down. I'm doing it bad and I can't explain. My soul is bad. My chips are moving out of rapid pace. Can you feel it burn? The tip of my toes running through my veins. And now it's your turn. Let me see what you got. Don't hesitate. I'm gonna get sick of trying to take on the music. It's like a competition. Be a cassette. I wanna get in the zone. I wanna get in the zone. I'ma take it your own. I'ma take it your own. Here, I got something to show ya. Sexy lady, I'd rather see you bare your soul. If you think you're so hot, better show me what you got. All my people in the crowd, let me see you dance. Come on with me, lose control. Watch you take it down.
What is the main mission of the Mental Health Foundation?
Our mission is to create a New Zealand society in which everybody is supported to be able to feel good and function well in their lives. That's really the definition of positive mental health. There are a lot of things that we need to do to achieve that. Some of that is about promoting the kinds of behaviours and support that people need to have that kind of positive experience of mental well-being in their lives. But it also includes being advocates and commentators and trying to be part of developing the range of services that people need when they do have times of mental and emotional distress, and make sure that those services are really focused on people's recovery.
Okay, no, that's excellent. So just going off what you said about services, what do you think about the current state, I guess, about the kind of support and services that are in place to help people with mental health? Like,
yeah, well, I think it's a sort of a mixed picture. I think it is really important to see how far New Zealand has come, and it has come, you know, a really long way in a positive direction. You know, we've come from some really horrific, destructive services in the past, and I personally know people that were in some of the institutions that existed in the 70s and early 80s and before and they were, you know, they were not places of healing. They were places of abuse and destruction. Now we've moved way beyond that. We're doing, you know, a lot of very effective work now in the community. There's a lot of acknowledgement of the voice of people who are living with the experience of mental illness or mental distress. There's a lot of, you know, peer input into services, you know, we're many things that are working really well. And I think, you know, we need to remember how far we've come. Having said that, there's a huge mountain to climb still, And I think in some ways, as our communities and society have become more aware of mental health issues, both positive and negative, and perhaps somewhat more accepting of being able to talk about mental distress, then in fact the demand for these services, for support services, has gone up. And so we are starting to see some real pressure on services with massive caseloads, you know, and cracks are starting to form in those services. And I guess on the positive side, you know, we have governments and politicians who do acknowledge this problem. So we're not in a situation where the minister or the government is pretending that this is not the case. So the Minister of Health has acknowledged that the demand for services has gone up 70% in 10 years. And the government has initiated some work looking at, you know, what are the next steps? What, how can we take the services in New Zealand to the next level? But we've yet to see what the results of that are going to be. And we are seeing every day, you know, some of the tragic consequences of poor practice that still exists or overloaded services.
Yeah. Do you think the government is doing enough to, at the moment, to help people with mental health issues?
Well, I think they can never do enough.
Okay.
So my answer would have to be no. I think there is a lot more that the government could do. I think we, like I said, I think we're seeing a lot of DHB services, you know, under real strain. And, you know, we really need to be looking at the adequacy of the funding that's going to those services. But also I think there need to be much more focus on recovery-led services, peer-led services in the community, supporting GPs, who are often the first, you know, clinical point of support. And even before that, a very important part, which is very undercooked in New Zealand, and that is really equipping communities to be the first line of support. You know, I myself live with bipolar, and I know that when I was in my times of real distress, you know, the first people I looked to for support were my family and my friends. And they were, in many cases, you know, not equipped. They were frightened of what, you know, I was experiencing. They didn't know how to support me. They were kind of scared of getting in over their heads. Now, luckily, I had enough people that kind of just had enough confidence to kind of stand beside me, which in many cases is all someone needs. They need someone to kind of be there with them through the experience. And that, you know, I was lucky there. But, you know, I believe that it's very important that we equip communities to be able to kind of ask that basic question, you know, are you okay? And when they're concerned about somebody, and to you know, to have the confidence to be able to then, you know, stay with someone if the answer is no, I'm actually, you know, struggling. So there's a lot of work that can be done there. There's also a lot of work that needs to be done to promote the, you know, the kind of positive stuff, the stuff that actually prevents people getting into distress. And you know, there are many lifestyle changes that people can make that, just like you can affect your physical fitness and your, you know, your health through eating habits or not smoking or exercising, there are things that people can build into their lives that will make them more resilient. And we're doing not nearly enough to really promote those things.
That's really interesting. So I guess a lot of it could be, when you're talking about the community, is just like really raising awareness towards how to respond to people who've you know, these kind of issues, and like, so I guess raising awareness in the community is really an important thing.
Yeah, I think it goes beyond simply raising awareness, I think people need some training and some skills, and that, you know, we need to start getting that kind of, I guess, competence and confidence kind of really built in, you know, I mean, ideally, you know, right from schooling age, that people are better able to support one another and look out for one another. I mean, what we often find is that, say, for example, you know, at the kind of very emotive and extreme end of the mental health spectrum, when people are responding to issues around suicide, there are a lot of people say, well, we just need to talk about it more. Mm. In one sense, that's absolutely true, but in another sense, there are ways of talking about issues such as suicide, which are helpful, and there are ways that are really destructive.
That's really interesting. Mm.
You know, it's the number one thing really is to focus on the people being there in a non-judgmental way for other people.
Yeah.
For example, with suicide, it's very important to remember, and when the community is talking about these issues, that the vast majority of people who become so depressed or anxious or distressed that they might consider suicide survive. You know?
Okay.
And so it's a message of hope that needs to be there. It's also very important when, say, the media or anybody who might be doing, you know, schools programs or whatever else is talking about suicide, that they don't talk about methods that people have used to commit suicide.
Okay,
because people who are vulnerable, and I, you know, again, I can use myself as an example. I have been at times, you know, in a suicidal state. And people that are vulnerable, you know, to be given some sort of concrete idea of how to act on those suicidal thoughts can actually be very dangerous.
Yeah.
And, you know, unless the conversation around suicide, for example, is, you know, very heavily weighted towards hope and towards, you know, support, and you, things can get better, because they do, you know, then, you know, then it can be dangerous. So it's not just raising awareness, it's raising awareness in a way that really gives people the skills to support one another effectively.
No, that's great. So you were saying about, like, maybe even in schooling, just, like, teaching people, like, not simply saying, like, you know, be there for someone, but teaching them how to be there in, like, a really helpful way that isn't, you know, because...
Yeah.
...isn't destructive.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think kind of sort of some basic awareness of mental health, both the positive and, you know, and the potential kind of indicators of when someone's struggling or when a person may be starting to get into depression or anxiety or something quite serious. You know, that sort of education at the school level would be very helpful. But, you know, also there are things, I mean, we've been involved in a program called Pause, Breathe, Smile, which we sort of work with an organization in the community that is focused on teaching school children some basic mindfulness skills, so skills about how to calm your mind, how to focus on what is happening right now.
Okay.
And then the name tells you the core technique, you know, how to pause, take a breath, focus on that, and smile at a time of stress. Now, building those kinds of habits into people's lives from the very beginning, you know, will massively, you know, increase the mental well-being across the population.
Wow, that's incredible. Just like simply, just like programs like that at schooling level, I guess, can actually have like a really big difference across the board.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's quite possible for New Zealand to, if you think about mental well-being as kind of like, I don't know, an asset that the whole country has, you know, we have a certain amount of fields that we can grow grass on to sort of have farms or whatever. Well, we also have a certain amount of mental and emotional well-being in New Zealand, and that well-being is an asset for our relationships, our families, our parenting of children, for us as people, you know, working and, you know, being able to produce things and you know, be it really effective in the workspace, for our communities and how connected they are. If someone is feeling good and functioning well and able to cope with the ups and downs of life, then they're much more effective in every part of their life. Now, we, as New Zealand, we can actually grow the amount of that well-being in our community. We can have more of that asset if we promote the kinds of skills, behaviours, ideas that build positive mental health. And that would flow on into every part of New Zealand society in a very positive way.
I mean, that's a really great way to put it, I think. I mean, yeah, thanks so much. Like, that's brilliant. I think we're actually, like, we've been talking for quite a while, about 15 minutes now, so I'll probably have to wrap it up there. But,
No worries.
That was really, really informative. And I just want to really thank you for your time, Sean. That's great, mate.
No worries. Well, the one other thing I'll quickly say, which you might be able to, you know, pop in, is that, you know, these are not just nice ideas. This is actually based on a wealth of scientific research.
Yeah, of course.
You know, drawing on things like sports psychology, education psychology, organisational science, psychotherapy, and from this vast range of scientific exploration, all points towards the same conclusions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, that's really great, mate. Like, thank you. That's really informative.
You're welcome.
Great. Cheers. Okay.
What's coming up for you, Josh?
My graduation's coming up very, very soon, and I'm looking forward to it because it's another stepstone for me, because it's been now been 2 years since I've been at MSL.
Gosh, and how did you get through all that work?
I just did it.
You just did it?
Put up with it and did it.
Well, you were very determined.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because some courses I haven't finished before, but don't tell anyone. Well, I'd like to thank our sponsors today, Renaissance Griffiths, supporting living provider in Auckland and Hamilton. If you'd like to find Radio Gaga online, you can find us at facebook.com/Radio Gaga 104.6 FM. And if you'd like to listen to our podcast, you can find us at planetaudio.org.nz. Thank you for listening to the show today, and we'll see you next week.
Goodbye and have a good day.